A married couple by the names of Betty and Barney Hill were taken at night while driving in the mountains of New Hampshire, USA. See section 6.5.1. The Pleiadians examined this event and have determined that Earth humans have nothing to fear from the Zeta Reticuli entities here because they only perform explorations. Entities. This section provides information about certain extraterrestrial entities including Arat Athasata, Askit, Ashtashran, Kamigolion II, Nera, and Pet-Al. Arat Athasata. May IRATMS contact with Arat Athasata. The Pleiadian High Council considered Maia to be spiritually mature enough to have contact with a pure spiritual being. So, on May 16, 1975, only a few hours after his 19th contact with Semgeis, Maia came into contact with a very high form of spirit, which had previously prepared Maia for his incarnation on Earth. This is an extreme exception that has not occurred in 2,000 years. This represents an extreme concentration and ability for perception to enable him to fulfill his mission. Maia is told that the contacts would be very time-consuming and very difficult for him and his family. But, he is also told that they will be very worthwhile. This will enable him to help humanity to know the truth. Arat Athasata, he is of pure spiritual form. For 4 months. Maia has been hearing a telepathic voice that has been dictating long messages for him to write down. This has taken much of Maia's TMS time and energy. Maia asked Semgeis for more information about this and was told that the voice was from a pure spiritual form that she was not even able to communicate with. Only high counselors can do this, who are other, worldly life forms of half-spiritual forms that still exist in material bodies. The name of this spirit form is Arat Athasata. It has been 5 months since the initial contact with Arat Athasata and Maia expresses concern that this is becoming too much for him. Semgeis tells him that the contacts will not last much longer. Only the values of the Ten Commandments and a few other important factors have yet to be explained. Maia is assured that it will not be difficult for him to write them down and elaborate on the messages from Arat Athasata. Care is being taken to ensure that he is not being overburdened. Because of this, Arat Athasata will only transmit a small quantity of further messages. Arat Athasata and Pet-Al. 7 months since his initial contacts with Arat Athasata, Maia remarks that he has not had contact recently and is told that he is being allowed to recover his strength. Maia laughs at this and says that he can bear a lot. Semgeis says that she does not doubt that, but that he should not exhaust his last reserves as he has done in the past. Askit. Askit known by Semgeis. Also see section 1. Maia questions Semgeis on how she knows Askit. Semgeis told Maia that Askit, pronounced Askit, was well known to her. Maia asks what she knew of Askit, her race, and her connection with him. Semgeis says that Askit has explained everything to her about her contacts with him and their time, travels together where Maia became healed from religious heresies. He tells Semgeis that this frightens him because Askit had strictly forbidden him to discuss this until she said that it was permitted. Semgeis tells him that he now has permission to talk about Askit, but must remain silent about what was learned regarding time, travel. She also says that he is now allowed to disclose the reports that he wrote in 1964 about his contacts with Askit. Maia says that he has kept them well hidden and has only waited for permission to reveal them. Pleiadians obtained higher technology for hyperspace. After Askita TMS contacts with Maia in 1964 in India, see section 1. She began communications with the Pleiadian High Council and quickly succeeded in establishing relations with them and her race in the Dull Universe. With their assistance, the Pleiadians obtained great knowledge of the highest technical capabilities and learned how to construct huge motherships known as Great Spacers, which they have had since 1971. They are exactly 17,182 meters in diameter. This knowledge had been known to Askita TMS people because they have had these ships for more than 700 years. Askita TMS race is technically more advanced than the Pleiadians by 350 years. Once a race has reached a certain level of development in all fields, then this small difference no longer plays a decisive role. So, the Pleiadians were assisted with very important concepts and acquisitions. Maia goes to meet Asket. She notes his missing arm. Samjace has taken Maia to meet Asket once again on board a ship in the Dull Universe. They enter a nice room with comfortable chairs and a desk where Asket stands and smiles. Maia is overjoyed to see her again as she walks over to him and hugs him. Asket welcomes him with love, joy, and honor to greet him there. She kisses him and reads his thoughts of amazement. Maia comments on how beautiful she is and how she has not changed in 10 years. He expresses his delight in being able to see and talk with her again since he thought he would never see her again. Asket notices that Maia's TMS arm is gone. He tells her that he has accommodated himself to it and can no longer imagine life with two arms. She offers to provide him with a half, organic substitute arm. Maia thanks her, but says that he has learned much from life without the arm and such a device would cause many problems on Earth. Asket understands, but says that she was just being moved out of sympathy for him. When Samjace says that Maia actually thinks and acts more precisely than they, he tells her to stop throwing flowers at him. Asket says that he has not changed and is still very modest. Asket will not come to Earth again for a long time. Asket agrees to have her picture taken by Maia. But, Samjace cannot be photographed because her security on Earth would be jeopardized. Asket expresses concern that the photograph of her would be blurred because of harmless energy rays that often distort the picture and alter its colors. She says that they will endeavor to construct an apparatus that may provide better pictures later. Maia is given the opportunity to take a group picture of Asket, Nera, and Samjace under the condition that he does not reveal it to anyone else. At a later time, he will be permitted to take pictures of Samjace when she can no longer be menaced on Earth. This is no problem for Asket and Nera because they will not return to Earth. But, throughout the universe, there may be others that will have a striking resemblance to them. Asket, earlobes, anatomical difference only. Maia noticed that Asket's TMS ears had much longer lobes and that they were further forward grown tight. He was told that this was simply due to anatomical differences. When he asked if it indicated a higher intelligence, he was told that was ridiculous because, if this were true, then animals like the ass, horses and elephants would have more intelligence. Ashtashra nor Aruzik. Thule Society, secret society in Germany. The Pleiadians attempted to locate the entity, Ashtashran, but were unsuccessful in finding him. They searched through numerous systems in this time as well as numerous dimensions, but could not find his point of origin. Everything is very secretive, but all indications lead back to Earth and especially to Germany. All trails concentrate at a center of a very powerful secret organization known as the Thule Society. The indicators reveal great knowledge and many powers. They are in possession of telepathic forces and knowledge about extraterrestrial technology and extraterrestrial intelligences, etc. They use their telepathic abilities to influence many people on Earth. Their aim is the preservation and multiplication of the white race on Earth for posterity of the Aryan race. They screen their efforts with spiritual forces, which are very difficult to break through. Telepathic impulses are sent out and received by different human groups and are written down. Their transmissions contain explanations that are astonishingly close to the truth. They reveal much knowledge about worthy and good facts that are rather unknown on Earth. But, these truths are intermixed with very strange and untrue facts that appear like an evil foreign body. The whole consequence has no meaning, as very many truths are outnumbered by unusually large falsities. There is no fault with those writing the information down as they are very loving of the truth. But, the truth is being destroyed by untruths and is causing it to be questioned. With great difficulty, the Pleiadians were able to determine that Ashtashran really exists. He deceptively hides himself in this name when his real name is Aruzik. He is a cousin of the highest in command of the GIES intelligence group and the German Thule Society. He has introduced two strong telenautical elements to influence many Thule Society members and different groups such as those who have received messages from Ashtarshran. This type of telenautical influence is a form of hypnosis that transmits high-frequency oscillations as inaudible signals into human ears. The appearances at Fatima trace back to the GIES intelligences along with many other similar events. They were carried out either by Ashtarshran himself or by his order. This became known to the Pleiadians only recently when they investigated him. Ashtar and Kamigal. Aruzik, alias Ashtarshran, is the commander of a several thousand entity group of intelligences who, until 15 years ago, stood below the direct command of a being known as Kamigal, who seeks a one-world government under him. Aruzik and Kamigal are cousins by blood relation. Also see section 6.4.4, Ashtar forms a splinter group. Kamigal too has now chose one of his cousins for command of a many thousand-headed group to have performed a certain mission. This mission consisted of leading different groups of humans with Aryan descent telenautically in a certain direction, especially in Germany, America, Argentina, and Brazil, to unconsciously assist the plans of Kamigal. Initially, Ashtar unconditionally observed these orders and Kamigal achieved greater power. But, in the course of time, Ashtar realized many things and changed his mind. He influenced his first line of commanders, which he needed. Step by step, he obtained their confidence and they acknowledged him as their actual leader. He gradually recognized the truth and shared his knowledge with his commanders. They separated from the command of Kamigal and formed a new splinter group. Since then, Ashtar has been transmitting his messages to different people on Earth. But, because he is still not fully conscious of the truth, contradictions arise, which must be taken into account. However, his messages contain very true meaning and give enjoyment. For security reasons, he gives unclear information that is not entirely true, which is excusable. Although the information he gives for his location is false, this does not diminish his love for the truth. He is simply avoiding conflicts with Kamigal. They are evidently using advanced knowledge to prevent detection because the Pleiadians are unable to locate him. But, such things happen often when groups separate themselves from tyranny and search for the truth. So, Ashtar may stay with his people in a distant star system or even in another dimension where they are safe from Kamigal at TMS reach. Nevertheless, they are still able to influence others because their spiritual and technical abilities can overcome all distances and time. The activities of Ashtarshran have finally come to an end and he is not in this region of space. Ashtar had influenced a journalist with real visions when he was still in doubt and has written pure fantasy. Unfortunately, Ashtar omitted different things, such as his refusal of any connection with the GIES intelligences. The journalist mixed his vague recollections with pure fantasy and spread it as the truth. A small part of the Pleiadian mission has been the clearing up of these things. Kamigal Ion 2. Ashtar, Arasim and Jehovah. Kamigal is the commander and leader of a many thousand-headed splinter group of descendants from human beings that separated from the forces in ancient times that had maintained control over the Earth and whose leader was an IHWH. Unfortunately, it is human nature for those who are governed to fight for power. One of the most hungry for power at that time was Arasim. Together with a group of many thousand humans, Arasim separated from a peaceful group known as Heaven at TMS Sons, and endeavored to take control over the Earth and all of its creatures. His method for reaching his goal was that of lying, deceit, and misleading humans toward cult heresies with religious lessons that he wanted humanity to know. Through messengers and fallen angels, he introduced these lessons and found many followers. Mainly, there were the gypsies of the Nile, around the Mediterranean, and the Red Seas, who became fanatical followers and spread the lessons to others. But, the Hebrews later freed themselves from his command when Arasim was forced to relinquish his government to his follower, Jehovah. The Hebrews grew in number, became mighty, and presented themselves as the elected people. They assumed the right to be suited for the World ATMS government, despite only being a gathering of gypsies of many colors and races. They believed themselves to be prey, selected to bring the earth under their control and servitude. The Hebrews selected Kamagolai to lead them as the chosen ones. He was the follower and successor of Jehovah and took for himself the title of IHWH. As no governor before, Kamagolai coerced all earth religions to become bloody sacrificial cults, which continues today. Despite their good intentions, the heavenly sons could not stop the evil machinations. Possessing many technical and spiritual means, Kamagolai TMS followers were able to bring all of Earth TMS humanity under their control and keep them in cultic religious confusion. After Kamagolai had constructed a center and command station for himself under the Great Pyramid of Gizeh, he was displaced by his own son, Kamagolai II, and deprived of power. In many ways, he was worse than his father because he caused the mass murdering of people and many bloody events by the cultic religions. Kamagolai II, and his followers, became known in initiated circles as the Gizeh Intelligences because they maintain their central control and guide all events from under the Great Pyramid of Gizeh. Many attempts have been made to put an end to this center and the activities of these wicked beings, but this has always failed because they are very well secured. Effective changes can only be achieved by an evil power with access there. Nera. Nera, female, ask its deputy, second coordinator. When Maia visited Asket on board a ship in the Dull Universe, a female human entity entered the room and Asket introduced her as Nera, pronounced Ne-ra, her deputy. Maia shook her hand and noticed a very pleasant hand pressure. He felt stupid after saying that he was glad to meet her. Nera sensed his feelings and said that he should not think of himself as stupid. She says that she is delighted to welcome him there. When Maia asks if she intruded upon his thoughts, she says that his thoughts are extremely strong and are easily noticed. Nera says that she is the second coordinator for locating points in space. Asket is the first coordinator. Nera, on Earth at various times long ago. When Maia thinks of Nera as being a very nice and lovely girl, she laughs and asks him if that is so. He realizes that she has read his thoughts and admits to it being true. She says that he responds to his feeling and that his feelings are very sincere. Several years ago, she had been on Earth frequently and had never noticed this from other Earth humans. She says that they will not return to the Earth again in his lifetime. She notices that Maia has overcome many horrors in regards to his eventual death. She and Asket will return to Earth a very long time after his death in connection with the evolution of Earth humans. Nera to Maia, perhaps we will meet another time. Maia is told that the reason why a time missile was returned to Asket by Samjace in person was so that he could meet with Asket. He is amazed that they would go to the trouble of bringing him to another universe for him. Asket says that she wanted to see him again. Maia becomes overjoyed and is told by Asket that they are only plain human beings with feelings that move inside of them. Maia comments that it is unfortunate that they do not always show their feelings. Pet Al. On October 14, 1975, Maia received telepathic communications with a highly developed life form that has told him some very interesting things. It is a purely spiritual entity of sexless form that is called Pet Al, which means, A.O. Wheel of Time Ear. This form, in its entirety, is a unit of many spiritual creatures. When it refers to itself as Emu, it is actually speaking as a combined A.O. Ear. This being is near perfection and is positioned several levels above Arathathasata. At that level, Petal was informed about Maia. The message given to him from that high level serves to explain important facts. The information given from such an elevated and sublime level consists of the latest wisdom which serves Earth ATMS humanity. Pet Al. Maia is informed that the lost reports of Maia ATMS contact with Emmanuel will not be re-transmitted. This is because they are being overshadowed by the spiritual lessons being transmitted to him from the Pet Al sphere. The lost reports contained lessons given to him by Emmanuel which he should interpret and explain in his Genesis book. The original reports are not important because the lessons there were only partially stated. The lessons given to him by Patel will have the complete lessons in their full worth. Interactions. Other extraterrestrials visit Earth. There are extraterrestrial races that only communicate telepathically. Their means of communication has either been telepathic since their early origins or they have dropped their spoken language. As far as the Pleiadians know, Earth has not been visited by beings whose means of communication is purely telepathic. Extraterrestrials have influenced technology. Many good writers of fiction on Earth come very close to concepts of reality and truth because what they is often inspired. Their books then prepare humanity for the future. In this same way, scientists become aware of certain fields and possibilities that enable them to research and obtain success. It is now time for this to become known. Many people have received insightful help, even if they only assume these relations. The major advances in science and technology in the previous 100 years have been made possible because of the contributions from the Pleiadians and many other entities, which is in accordance with the Age of Aquarius. Authorities and military feel threatened by UFOs. The authorities and military feel threatened whenever they are informed about sightings or landings of spacecraft. However, the Pleiadians are not interested in menacing their primitive forces since their mission is concerned with only the Earth human beings. Although the authorities and military deny any interest in extraterrestrial craft, they are very interested and perform extensive research and examinations. The military TMS investigations are so secret that they hide what they are doing and lie about their purposes. They will contest every observation, photograph, and evidence and could become dangerous to media. Military personnel investigated landing sites. On April 21, 1975, Meyer had noticed the Swiss military in his area and assumed that they were covertly investigating for traces of some Jace TMS beamship. This was confirmed by some Jace, who stated that his fears and assumptions in this regard were correct. No ETs cooperating with Earth governments. When Meyer asked too if there were governments on Earth that have extraterrestrials working for them or employed by them, he is told that such stories are fairy tales. If such reports were true, then governments would have told mankind the truth and they would have been communing in tranquility for a long time. Because extraterrestrials have no authority to interfere by force in terrestrial concerns, they are limited to finding humans that are willing to transmit their knowledge to others. If they were permitted to interfere with governments, then they would reveal themselves publicly and would not need to worry about governments, militaries, or others harming them. Meyer says there are reports of extraterrestrials secretly cooperating with government institutions and is told that this does not happen. If this were the case, then no authority, government, or military force would continue to search for their ships because they would have the ability to stifle their attempts. These reports are lies that can be traced back to religious efforts, sectarian elements, or unscrupulous fantasies. No dead alien bodies, 120 centimeters tall. When Meyer asked Sam Jace if the American Pentagon was in possession of 10 to 16 small dead extraterrestrial bodies of approximately 120 centimeters tall and stored in glass coffins, she said that this was unknown to the Pleiadians. If this were true, then they would have to know about it. She said that such a report is likely untrue. This would mean that there was a crash of a beamship of unknown origin and the Pleiadians have no knowledge of this occurring. Interference only permitted if catastrophe. Interference from outside of the world is only possible in very few cases. Even if thousands of humans die, interference is only possible if a catastrophe of extra planetary extension is recognized. This means that the inhabitants of a whole world can be completely destroyed if the greater system is not menaced. Each creature must take its own path of evolution, even if it includes self-destruction. What degenerates negatively is then destroyed so that it cannot menace other better forms of life. Only by observance of this can life proceed. Earth humans must also learn this, sooner than they expect. Peaceful ET race to officially visit Earth. Nearly all Pleiadians will retire from the Earth if an unknown human race starts to visit the Earth from the cosmos. The Pleiadians have determined that this will probably occur before 2000 if unanticipated factors before then do not put this enterprise in question. If these negative factors do not develop, humanity on Earth will first officially meet human beings from other worlds around 2000. The first public appearance of these strange visitors will cause horror and panic because of false information concerning extraterrestrials and unreasonable people. But, there will be no danger from these human-like forms because they will be peaceful and harmless. Their culture and spiritual state will be superior to Earth humans. They will first announce themselves by radio and television in order to prepare people for their arrival, and then they will land in one of their egg-shaped ships. It will be manned by 8 to 12 entities. They will land in America because they have the best communications technology. The people of that country are more resilient in connection with clearing up information about extraterrestrials, and they may be more prepared to overcome a large panic at the first official meetings. If the landing occurs successfully, it will be of revolutionary importance. This is not forecast from a view into the future, but from probability calculations. These extraterrestrials will be connected to the development of humans on Earth. UFOs observed. Many observations of UFOs are deceptions. Most observations of UFOs and abductions are of earthly origin. When Earth humans see a UFO, many people assume these objects to be of extraterrestrial origin. This belief is often used by them when they make themselves known to others as having seen an extraterrestrial craft. Conscious of religious power, observers will pretend that the UFOs are here for angels or that they are sent by God and are rescuers of mankind. These observers often designate themselves to be their contact persons on mysterious missions for the benefit of mankind. But in truth, they seek profit and advantage for the state in espionage. These deceiving elements state that the earthly UFOs are from Venus, Mars, Saturn, and Uranus. They also state that the neighboring systems of this solar system have to be in for it. Meyer and group spot a 700-meter spherical ship. Meyer and his group observed a very large orange, red-colored object southwest over Hinwil on 9/10/75 at 8:45 p.m. As seen from Meyer at EMS House, the spherical object appeared to be about 1.3 meters in diameter, although it had to actually be at least 600 meters in diameter and no further than 20 kilometers away. After a few minutes, it disappeared in a black artificial, appearing cloud. The object was observed again at 9:15 p.m. in the southeast. The light from the object was quite bright and the sky was colored in peculiar violet, red, and blue colors. It jumped around like a jack-o'-lantern and then suddenly sank very low where it hovered near Bachtelberg. Next, it shot like a projectile towards the east near its starting point and started pulsing in very intense light. The peculiar color of the sky vanished and the object began jumping around again like crazy. The next night, he saw the object again at 9 p.m. in the southwest from his home hanging in the air near Riggy Mountain. Meyer asked Sam Jace about this and was told that this object was the same one that he had seen on April 20. It was a small spacer that belonged to a rather unkind intelligence that endeavors to disrupt the Pleiadian mission on Earth. Numerous UFOs over Hinwil, Switzerland on May 8, 1976. There were numerous beam ships sighted over Hinwil, Switzerland on May 8, 1976. The Pleiadians checked for remnant ground radiation from their landings because of a Swiss army unit that searched the area. Strange UFOs sighted in Robenhausen and Fehltorf. On Sunday night, June 13, 1976, Meyer and his group witnessed different sightings of lights in the region of Robenhausen and at the private airport of Fehltorf. They were at Bachtelberg patiently waiting for observations of a beamship. The lights appeared to be from many beamships. When Meyer asked Sam Jace if they were Pleiadian craft, he was told that none of their craft had been there. After investigating, it was determined to be a ship of unknown origin. The ship had a combustion propulsion system of electrical energy. It apparently experienced difficulties that needed to be repaired. Traces of radiation and burnt plant life indicated that there were 4 futile attempts to depart, but the 5th attempt was successful. This explained the intense light that Mayo had seen.